You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
All right, folks, moving along. Our next guest, Ralph Winter, has proven himself to be one of Hollywood's most profitable assets, producing motion pictures and television while working for 20th Century Fox for a whole bunch of years. Ralph has been on some of the studio's biggest box office successes, including X-Men Trilogy, Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes, and the Fantastic Four movies, which together have grossed billions of dollars. Maybe not the latest. I'm not quite sure of all the timeline of this, but like, let's summarize this. Wolverine. You get this? Fantastic Four, X-Men, Planet of the Apes, Star Trek. I mean, the guy who was involved with a lot of... Steven Spielberg. I'm sick of name dropping. Let's just get to the interview. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ralph Winter. How you doing, Ralph?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What a bio, man. It's just got to be weird. Like, you know, where you came from, where you were going. You were almost going to be a history teacher, a Bible student or something?
I was a history major at Berkeley. I was going to go to grad school, teach history, or become a pastor, go to seminary. Wasn't sure.
But that just, I mean, does that seem like forever ago?
Yeah, it does seem like a long, long time ago. Never thought I would be making movies.
Well, you've done good. That's what people tell me anyway. Now, listen, doing the search for you, a little research, there's a couple of Ralph Winters around, and this one has got to be related to you. Ralph D. Winter from Pasadena had some connection to Fuller and just died in 2009. Any relation to him?
No, but a good guy. Went to the same church, grew up with his kids, painted his house one summer. Great guy who kind of changed the field of missions. And when I was working, volunteering at Glendale Presbyterian Church and making calls for like pastor seeking, things like that, got my phone calls answered because they all thought I was him. I used to get calls in the middle of the night from Africa, you know, because I lived in Pasadena as well, and they'd call me up and say, hey, I got your manuscript and I want to give you some notes. And I'm like, got the wrong guy. Here's Dr. Ralph's phone number. Wake him up. So, great guy, great family.
Yeah, he was named by Time Magazine as one of the 25 most influential evangelicals in America.
Yeah, no, he's great. He was a great man and a friend.
There's another Ralph E., but it's Ralph E. Winters, so I know this guy's not related, but interesting that he is in the same field. One of the industry's leading film editors from Toronto, no less. Originally, he won an Academy Award for film editing twice, King Solomon's Mines and Ben-Hur.
Right.
Interesting.
He's passed on some years ago.
Yeah.
And he was a great guy. I met him once. He didn't really care.
That's great.
Whatever.
Classic.
But he got my phone calls answered as well. I mean, I used to get phone calls. It's funny, when I was at Paramount, I used to get phone calls from Dilo De Laurentiis, and the assistant would say, it's Dilo De Laurentiis on line 3. And I'm like, why?
Why?
And he'd get on and say, hey, Ralph, my old friend. And I go, I think you got the wrong Ralph.
Oh, man.
Like, so.
Should have rolled with it, man.
Yeah, well, I did for the moment, but whatever.
Happy Days, Laverne Shirley, Mork and Mindy. Like, that's enough just for me to worship you right there.
I was having some laughter in the background. I was having a lot of fun doing post-production. Didn't quite know what I was doing, but it was a great time at Paramount. They had a lot of classic sort of golden age TV shows, and I was a kid, and it was a lot of fun. Met a lot of nice people, and still friends with some of those people now, so it's a good thing.
Are you friends with Shazbot?
No. No.
Okay, just checking. Just checking. Listen, one thing I'm very unclear on is what does being a member of the Academy actually mean? Like, is there any perks, parking spaces, something, anything, coupons?
You get screeners of movies, but that's for the voting process. To become a member of the Academy, you know, the best picture, last award, goes to the producer. Producer is the one who is the cheerleader, the champion, the one that makes it all happen, the guy that won this year, you know, courageous to go out and find money and distribution to make a black and white silent movie in a world of 3D. Amazing. He deserves the Oscar for Best Picture. To get into the Academy, either you're nominated on a picture like that, or you've produced a single card producer credit on two motion pictures distributed by the studios, and then you have to be recommended by two current members. And if that all works, then you're in and you pay your dues. And it's, you know, it's an organization that is about promoting movies and about honoring achievement. And so I'm very privileged to be a part of that group, and it's fun. We're doing a lot of educational stuff and trying to figure out what the future looks like for motion pictures.
Academy Awards, just last Sunday night, I endured it. What a shocker. Just my opinion. You know, it's subjective. It's like, you know, you eat at a restaurant and some people love it and some people got food poisoning. I got food poisoning last Sunday night, man. That was even from a production point of view, there were so many gaps and lulls and there was technical glitches. Like the microphone, it was like someone in the front row had their cell phone going off every time someone had an acceptance speech. I didn't even think Billy brought his game, and that might be more due to the writers and something. I don't know, man. It didn't work for me. How about you?
Loved it.
Oh, really?
I'm not the TV producer, so I don't produce live television. So yeah, there's problems in trying to make that work and attractive. But I thought it kind of honored the old-fashioned process of going to movies and all that. I thought Billy had a couple of fun jokes, a couple of lame ones. He came on late because, you know, there was a whole kerfuffle with Brett Ratner and all that. But right. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of pressure with that many people watching. They don't pay you to do that stuff. The perk is you get seen by a lot of people, and, you know, you take that job on with some trepidation because you could look pretty foolish. And then, you know, your opportunity is sort of gone. I think they streamlined it a bit. I like some of the parts of the show. Other parts, you know, weren't as good as past years. The dead guy portion wasn't as good. I thought the montage portion I didn't think was as good in past years that Chuck Workman has done. I think some of those have been absolutely awe-inspiring. But I was rooting for the artist. I love the movie. And so I was happy that Artist and Hugo took away most of the awards.
How about our Canadian guy?
Which one?
Mr. 82-year-old. You're a fan of him, aren't you?
Yeah, hey. No, he did a movie with me. I've worked with him a couple times. He did a Star Trek, and he did another movie called Blizzard that I shot up in Quebec. And he's terrific.
Mr. Christopher Plummer?
He's terrific, yeah. He played a Klingon for me.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah. He was a Klingon in Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country.
Okay, your faith story. Did you ever get up to Hume Lake?
No, I didn't do the Young Life stuff. I grew up at Glendale Presbyterian Church. I was there for many years. And, became a Christian when I was 12 years old at Green Oaks Boys Ranch, which was run by the Union Rescue Mission down in San Diego. And, had a great experience doing that, not sure what to do with my life, kind of recommitted myself to Christ in high school, and then went off to Berkeley, you know, the educational zoo where you can sample anything. Loved it, played basketball, tried to be a walk-on in the NCAA, but at 6'4", I'm too short.
Wow.
But it was fun, and did ministry stuff up there, and did a lot of that when I got back. But I had fun making movies and found some favor, and those doors sort of opened, and God's been faithful, and I haven't really had too many gaps in my career, and had some fun, and hopefully making a contribution.
Do you get interviewed by all the? Yeah, I can imagine when the normal Jesus shows find out about you and you being a rock star in the industry, and then they find out, oh, he's a Jesus guy. You know, they sink their hooks into you, get you on the show, and you're sitting on there with Paul and Jan and the hairspray panel. And do they come at you like with, so how liberal have you become? I mean, how have you sold out? How much has Hollywood messed you up? And how in the world do Christians survive in such a demonic industry? I mean, is that the usual shtick that people throw at you?
It is, and I try to avoid a lot of those shows. You do things once, and then you figure out that, you know, it was all sort of stacked against you. So I've learned not only being in the business, but also on some of those circuits, to be cautious about what I say because it'll show up in print, and I got to be careful. Can't really say, you know, what you want to say at times. But
you can say anything you want on our show.
Thank you. Yeah, there's still, you know, there's still a lot of cultural Christianity that doesn't match up with biblical Christianity.
Right.
And so I find myself having that discussion a lot, although I probably need to calm down about it. people say that, you know, yeah, isn't it, you know, isn't it, how do you survive in living in that godless brothel called Hollywood?
Yeah.
And I say things like, what, you mean the place where people are worried about who's sleeping with who and who's getting, oh, wait a minute, that's the church, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You mean the place where people are trying to make a profit and trying to, you know, use, oh, that's education, sorry. I mean, I think it's the same everywhere. I think you read about it in Hollywood, but it's, I don't think it's any easier to be a person of faith on Wall Street or investment banking or retailing or manufacturing or the car business or...
Or television ministry.
Or television or radio or anything else. I don't think it's any different. So, you know, it's the daily choices. It's the journey. It's the kind of people we're becoming. It's not necessarily about the destination.
Yeah.
And I find a lot of that matches up with what I do. So what I believe and what I do, I think, kind of line up, so I'm not two different people on Sunday and on Monday.
But your theology must, I mean, look, I think theology, if you're an eyes wide open kind of person, spiritually anyway, and other ways as well, that your theology changes over the years. Although I asked, what's his name, Tim LaHaye one time, I said, you know, how do you feel about the fact that everyone now considers that the only end times eschatological view out there is the one that's in your book. How do you feel it, that people are now thinking that? And he said, well, it is. It is the only view. It is the only answer. And you know, I'm still stunned by it. And by the way, the main reason I wanted to have you on the show is because you left behind.
Yeah. I thought that would have been a good idea to talk about what the Bible says about how the world ends. And I got caught up in lawsuits and financial interests that really only wanted to make it an evangelical tract. And that's not what I'm about. And I left my name on the picture only because I would have hurt more people than got hurt financially on that movie. A couple of guys made a tremendous amount of money. And a lot of people got left holding the bag, and the movie was horrible. So I'm done with that, walking away. Unless there's a way to reinvent that idea in a clever way, the most clever idea is in the first chapter, the rapture, but that's really a third act event. I tried to fight against that. I hired a non-Christian to direct the movie because he's on the journey in search for what life is about, what faith is about. And I just got tired of people that brought all their spiritual baggage to the show and wanted to tell me about how much scripture they knew and how much scripture was fulfilled, but weren't helping me figure out the second act and the arc of the characters. So,
wow.
I just got to, but you know, I can get worked up about that.
Yeah, okay, well, let's move on. Should real actors do Jesus films?
Real actors should do real entertainment. Real actors should tell truthful stories that exhibit their talent in the best possible way.
Right.
To me, that's what's interesting, and that's what's fun, and that's what people have done for millennia, told good stories.
And that's another reason why I wanted to have you on. I mean, you know, pardon my ignorance here, but I didn't know a lot about you until I was involved in this conference call on Tuesday, I think.
Wedgewood.
Called? Wedgewood.
Yeah.
And I was listening to you and your answers. I thought, oh, this is the guy. This is the guy. And I've got you on because you're. I mean, look, you're one of the best who happens to have a God story. Not because you have a God story and you happen to be in the industry, but you're, you know, you've taken your gifts and you said, okay, whatever I do, I'm going to do it as best I can because that's what I'm here for, isn't it?
It's about the kind of person that you are, it seems to me, and not about conquering or the right product. I used to think that, gee, if I could just do Star Trek movies and James Bond movies and big hero movies, that I was going to somehow make an impact. And it has nothing to do with it. It's about the kind of person that I am. It's the way you treat people. It's all about the journey. Hmm. You know, when people go to movies, when people go to see Titanic, no one went to see that movie thinking that the ship was not going to sink. Everybody knew.
It does?
You go because the journey's interesting.
Right.
Because of the people, because of the choices, because of the values, because of the way they and what they fight for, when they run away, when they stand up. That's interesting. That's emotional. That's a connection. That's great storytelling. And in a way, that's sort of little mini episodes in my life of doing that. And that's what matters. It's how I grow in a relationship with my wife, my kids, my community, my neighbors. I think that's the kind of stuff that's going to last.
Speaking of the wife and chillin', Judy?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have been married a long time. Good job.
Yeah. You know, it hasn't always been easy, but we're
really?
About to celebrate 38 years next month.
And Benjamin, Beth, what are they doing?
My son and his wife live in the Boston area. My daughter and her husband live near us here.
Are they in the biz?
No. No.
Whew. You raised them right.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything you've worked on that you look back on now, Ralph, and go, I kind of shouldn't have done that or been involved in that project? I mean, other than what we've talked about.
I love all my children. I love Captain Ron. It's goofy. It's silly. I might be the only one in the theater laughing, but I enjoyed making that movie and had fun doing it and still find other geeks that like it as much as I do. Tried to be careful about that. Some I wish turned out better. But I've been pretty fortunate that I like most of the movies that I've made. I think some I like better. I like the fourth Star Trek movie with the whales, The Voyage Home. I like the second X-Men movie. I like the last movie I did, Wolverine. I mean, I think, some are better experiences and some turn out better and some connect better and you learn something and you move on.
Was there some story about you possibly being able, or maybe you were even asked to work on James Bond stuff and it didn't work out or something there?
Yeah, it happened, a while back on GoldenEye. I was doing a movie called Hackers with Angelina Jolie and Johnny Lee Miller in London. Hmm. Did a good job. And John Calley, who was running the studio then, wanted me to jump off of that movie and help him on the Bond movie that was in trouble at that point. And I said, I got to ask my wife. I got to check in with my family first. And the reality check there with my wife was a no-go. I wanted to go do Bond because it would add to the Star Trek movies and the resume. And it was, 6 months around the world, different continents, traveling, and looked like a lot of fun and a big project and prestige. But I think had I done that, I wouldn't still be married. I wouldn't still have a family. And I needed to be home with my kids, and so I finished the movie and came home and committed to staying home until my kids graduated from school.
Good for you. But then did you not also, because of that move, end up working with Spielberg?
I did. It doesn't always work out this way, but, I come home and I was out of work then for 6 months. I didn't find anything, and, the wife was praying for, every picture that would shoot within a block of our house, and I'm praying for her significance.
Right.
And out of the blue comes TV and a friend and Steven Spielberg, and I ended up working with Steven for 2 years almost on a daily basis doing television. And that was a wonderful recharge. And I look back now, and does James Bond mean anything in my resume? I love those movies, but doesn't mean anything in my resume.
No,
doesn't matter.
Nope.
Doesn't matter a bit.
Do you hang out with Scott Derrickson at all?
Love Scott. He's a good friend. Having dinner in a week or so.
You know, he's a guy I've wanted to he's been so busy I haven't been able to get him on, but when I found out he was the guy behind the exorcism of Emily Rose, and in the last year and a half, I've gone through a bit of a crisis of faith. And so I thought, maybe, you know, since I haven't really seen much supernatural, you know, God stuff, you know, maybe I should look into evil. Not, you know, worshiping it, but just you know, finding out what it is, what it's about. I started doing some research. I'm putting together some material for a pilot that we're working on. And I thought, man, you know, I've got to contact Scott Derrickson because, you know, here's a Biola super Jesus guy who graduates and does this. Really? You did a movie? Exorcism? Like, you know, come on. And, you know, the reasoning there is, look, this stuff really is going to create some great God conversation.
He's a big fan of the dark side, and he's, you know, horror movies and darker stuff is his specialty. We're connected on a couple of projects. One is the remaining novel of Flannery O'Connor called The Violent Bear Away, which we're going to try to get made. And then along with a mutual friend, he's going to direct Screwtape Letters if we can ever get the rights issues straightened out. He's a terrific writer-director, a USC grad, and philosophy major, extremely thoughtful and smart, and a very talented guy. He's slammed finishing a movie now, and I think he's supposed to be doing Goliath for Relativity next. He had developed Paradise Lost at Legendary. I don't think that's going to get made now. But he's a very thoughtful, talented guy, and we've been friends since he was at USC, and I'm trying to track with him and try to find something we can work together on, because I think he's very, very talented.
That would be a great combo. Great combo platter, you two. So, look, you know, you seem like you turned out okay. Do you sort of give kudos to Charles and Effie?
You know, it's funny. Tough. My dad was born in Toronto. I've actually been doing some research on my dad's side lately. It's funny. I have his birth certificate. We had a troubled relationship. We didn't talk much. And he was a character, probably more complicated than I should talk about on the radio. My mom was a spiritual warrior. She was amazing. Born on Christmas, died on Easter.
Come on.
I think of my mom often. Oh, saw a pastor from years gone by. Used to be at Glendale. And first thing he said to me, and just catching up in a few minutes outside of the church, was, "I think about your mom all the time." And she was a great influence, and just a simple but strong woman, and gave me a great foundation. Great foundation.
So. Folks, Ralph Winter is who we're chatting with and just about to say goodbye to. I don't know how to word this potentially last question here. Some closet Jesus people in Hollywood have told me that if they came out, their career would really take a hit. Some Jesus people I know in Hollywood who have come out have said that their career has suffered as a result. And some have said, nah, it's got nothing to do with whether I'm a Jesus person or not. It has to do with whether I'm, you know, whether I'm not a knob. So does anybody use that word anymore? Like, how old am I? So what's your take on that, you know, coming out in Hollywood? Like, you know, I remember John Ratzenberger and I were sitting down talking about this secret conservative club that's in Hollywood, and Gary Sinise is part of, you know, all these conservatives have to hide and stuff. And I mean, that's slightly different level. That's conservatives. But as far as Jesus people coming out,
I'm way out. I mean, everybody knows who I am.
I'm way out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's no hiding it. You know, Facebook, whatever. I do think there is resistance, and there's attitude, and I think there's opposition. I think that I have tried to I do not wear my faith or Christianity on my sleeve and try to convert people. I'm actually pretty reticent to talk about that on the set or on the job. After the job's fine. No problem.
Yeah, but is that because you got this Presbyterian thing going on? Like, what if you're happy-clappy?
I'm a recovering Presbyterian, but I don't know. I grew up in a very, you know, holy roller Baptist church early on when I was a kid. So I know how to roll in the aisle and I know how to play the tambourine. But I think there is some opposition. I think there's some ideological stuff. Because, you know, I'm in a position now where I'm trying to sell movies. I'm trying to set them up. I'm trying to create a product that Hollywood wants to distribute. And it's, you think you're a nice guy and you think you get along with people, but I don't know everything that happens behind my back, but I hear enough from my friends that there's resistance to me being a Christian. So I think it's out there. I don't know what it means exactly. I don't have skulls posted on my lawn by people mysteriously overnight, but I think there's...
No, that's Scott Derrickson.
Yeah, he's down the road. I think it's real. I don't think it's just imagined. I think there's just... And part of it is because most Christians, and I realize some of this is the media, picks up on, again, that sort of culturally stunted Christian, and that becomes an image of what everyone thinks a Christian is.
Well, it's been my experience so far, and mine's been very limited, but the people that I've been rubbing shoulders with in the last year, man, they're some of the best spiritual conversations I've had have been with these sort of, I don't know, secular Jews or liberal Jews or nominal Jews or, man, and boy, do they know how to swear. And it's fun talking to them. They just, I love it. I love it.
I think those are good conversations as well. I think people are open to it on an individual basis, but I think on a corporate level, on a business level.
It's a different scene.
I think it's a bit different.
Yeah. All right, Ralph. Well, listen, thanks. I like your thing, you know, whatever it is. I like it. I don't know how to say that. Is there anything you want to sell or flog at the end of this interview here?
Nope, I don't have anything to flog. I appreciate you inviting me on, and hope it's all going well for you.
Thanks, Ralph. Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ralph Winter on the Drew Marshall Show. That's what you're listening to. You liked that guy, didn't you? I could see you grinning over there.
Oh, man. You know, I'm a drama guy. I'm a movie guy.
You're totally drama.
Yes. Sorry, that was a different interview altogether.
Totally.
No, I think it, like Screwtape Letters, I thought that would be an amazing...
Oh, yeah.
And they're finally maybe kind of hopefully going to potentially do it.
Danny DeVito's got to be in that.
Which one is he?
I don't know. I just see him as...
Wormwood or...
something. I don't know. All right, folks, short break. Stay with us.
I love your directness, so I'll listen to the show again.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.